Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. It is the first Sunday in Lent, and this is a good opportunity for us to draw closer to God. In our Bible study on Tuesday, we thought about the question, why do Christians observe the season of Lent? What is its purpose? And we considered that Lent provides an opportunity, among other things, for self-examination, reflection, repentance, prayer, praise, sacrifice, renewal and growth, and a chance for us to remember what Jesus did for us. We also saw that the number 40 is symbolically significant in the Bible. It is a number that symbolises a time of testing and hardship that one must endure to become more spiritually aware. The Israelites wandered the desert for 40 years, experiencing hardship and testing to become more spiritually aware of God. Moses fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai, after which God gave him the Ten Commandments. Elijah travelled 40 days to the Mount of Horeb, where he met with God. These examples, among others, demonstrate that 40 was a significant number. So in light of what these 40 days of Lent means, and how we can use this period of time to draw closer to God and become more spiritually aware, we're going to trace Jesus' journey to the cross as we look at his life here on earth. And we will be following Tom Wright's book, Lent and Easter for Everyone, From Wilderness to Glory. And we will start where he starts, by considering Jesus in the wilderness. So let me read from Matthew 3, verse 13, to 4, verse 11. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendour. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. So just before Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, he experienced a wonderful affirmation and commissioning. At his baptism, Jesus received an outpouring of God's love and his calling on his life. He hears those wonderfully affirming words, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. But then the Spirit leads him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And those first two temptations seem to play on the very experience he had just received. God the Father had publicly recognised Jesus as his Son, someone he loved deeply. And so Satan takes those statements and tries to twist them to lead Jesus into sin. But more than that, Satan was trying to distract him from his love and submission to God. Satan was trying to prevent Jesus from following through on his central vocation, the path of servanthood that would lead to his suffering and death, the calling that would redeem Israel and the whole world. Satan tapped into God's words towards his son. In those first two temptations, Satan uses those words, "If you are the Son of God." In doing so, Satan tries to undermine Jesus' identity. The first temptation shows Satan trying to plant the suggestion that either a loving God would want him to satisfy his needs, or else God didn't truly recognize and love Jesus as his son. I know that Satan whispers these lies into our hearts and minds as well. We have been recognized as God's children. Each one of us is God's son or daughter. And yet, when we are going through difficult times, when we are in the wilderness like Jesus was, we might find ourselves thinking, God doesn't love me. He doesn't care for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going through these difficult situations. Just like Satan's temptation of Jesus was meant to distract him from his love and service to God, so too are the temptations that Satan levels at us meant to distract us away from loving and serving our Heavenly Father. Satan doesn't just want to tempt us into sin. That is not his end goal. His end goal is that we would turn away from God and from the path of servanthood that is laid out for us. God has a wonderful, yet also costly path for us. And the enemy will do all he can to distract us and thwart God's purpose. When we hear God's voice accepting us as his children, we also hear Satan whispering lies and damaging comments. But even Jesus went through difficult and testing times and heard Satan's words trying to undermine his understanding of God's love and care for him. This proves that Satan's words are horrific lies that try to impair our relationship with God. So let us learn not to listen to what Satan says about our identity in God. In the first temptation, Satan in essence says, if you truly are the Son of God, surely God wouldn't want you to go hungry, so turn these stones into loaves of bread and sate your hunger. Jesus' body must have been screaming for sustenance, and yet he knew that he had to rely on his Father and not give in to his physical needs when Satan was trying to tempt him. I'm going to assume that none of us have been led into the wilderness where we have fasted for 40 days and then been tempted to turn stone into bread. But we have all experienced the temptation to satisfy our physical needs and desires instead of submitting to God. We experience physical desires of greed, covetousness, unrestrained lust, the desire to be lazy and ignore our responsibilities, and so on. I'm sure we can all identify times in our own lives when we have followed our physical desires and chosen to satisfy our earthly nature at the expense of our spiritual relationship with God. So what lies are Satan whispering into your mind at the moment? How is he attempting to undermine your identity as God's child, whom he loves and who he is well pleased with? What physical needs is Satan trying to convince you to satisfy at the expense of your relationship with your Heavenly Father? In what way is the enemy trying to distract you from God's purpose and plan for your life? In the second temptation, Satan once again tries to undermine Jesus' status as God's son. He says to Jesus, "If you are God's son, surely you want everyone to know that. You need to do something spectacular to catch their attention and prove that you are the son of God. You know the Father will send his angels to catch you, if you are truly God's son." Once again, Satan slyly implies that Jesus isn't God's son and dares Jesus to prove him wrong. How often we fall into sin because we do not want to lose face or back down from a dare or demand to prove ourselves right. But this temptation also contains within it the temptation to take a shortcut. Satan suggests that Jesus prove to people that he is God's son by doing something spectacular so that everyone would believe in him. It reminds me of the words that people shouted at Jesus while he was on the cross. "Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." And in the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him." Our world is obsessed with quick fixes and shortcuts. More and more technology and innovative creations are made that promise to make things easier, faster, better. But more often than not, they provide temporary solutions that don't solve the main issue. Jesus could have made the whole world recognise him as the Son of God and worship him. But that would not have solved the big issue of sin that was preventing us from having an intimate relationship with God. And so Jesus rebuffs Satan's temptation, knowing he had to follow the path God the Father had marked out for him. Are you facing temptations for quick fixes in your life that take you off the path that God has laid out for you? What temptations for a quick fix are you facing in your spirituality, in your home life, your relationships, your work life, and so on? Do you find yourself falling into sin because you don't want to back down or lose face? How can you use this period of time to draw closer to God and focus on his solutions and not other quick fixes? In the first two temptations that Jesus faces, Satan subtly attempts to undermine Jesus' identity and trust in God. In the third temptation, he seems to just do away with subtlety. Jesus wasn't falling for it anyway, so he goes straight for one of humanity's greatest weaknesses, pride. He takes Jesus to a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and says, "All this could be yours. You could be the greatest person in all the earth. All you need to do is bow down to me." Jesus' swift rebuke demonstrates how much he was offended by the mere thought of worshipping Satan. He repels Satan, saying, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The thought of worshipping Satan caused righteous anger to rise up in Jesus, and Satan flees from his presence. Jesus didn't allow pride to rule his life. Pride only seeks to worship self, and as Jesus states, the only one worthy of worship is God. Where is pride tempting you away from God? Where are you allowing pride to stand in the way of your relationships? In all three temptations, Jesus rebukes Satan using scripture. If we want to stand firm against temptation, we must follow Jesus' example and use God's word to rebuke Satan. This, of course, means that we need to know God's word Jesus didn't fumble around for verses to counteract the enemy's temptation. Instead, he was able to immediately call to mind words that would strengthen him to avoid temptation. How well are we able to bring to mind God's word to keep us strong in the midst of temptation and trial? When I was at Southampton University, I joined a discipleship group called the Navigators, and each week they would have a Bible verse for us to memorise. If we wanted dessert that evening, we would have to recite the last week's memory verse. Even now, I can still recall many of those verses that I memorised. And there have been times when having those verses in my mind has been extremely helpful. And yet, I never kept up with the habit of trying to memorise scripture. Perhaps I can challenge myself, and maybe you as well, to take a verse of scripture each week to memorise. Relying on God's word, relying on him to give us power to tell Satan no, because we know that Jesus has already overcome Satan, is the way we can use God's word to beat Satan back. Let us trust in God and in his word and lean into scripture. Take time to truly immerse ourselves with what God says to us and to write it on our hearts. For when we do, we are able to use his word to rebuke the evil one. Jesus in the wilderness showed that it was a time of testing and trial for him. But he used scripture to rebuke the enemy in the way that he tried to tempt Jesus. Are you in a time of testing and trial? Do you feel like you're in the wilderness? What temptations are you facing? How can you lean into God and use his word to hold you strong? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your example of how we can use your words to rebuke the evil one. Lord, we know we so often do fall into temptation, and we are so sorry. But we pray for your strength, your wisdom, your power to repel Satan, and to use your words to keep us strong. Help us to walk your path, and help us in this 40 days of Lent to journey with you, Jesus. Amen.